Good morning, Mill City. So good to see you. It's so good to be together. For anybody who's maybe brand new, my name is Aaron Stern. I'm the lead pastor here. And welcome to everybody joining us on live stream, wherever you might find yourself around the country or maybe even around the world. This last week, I was with a couple of close friends. A couple of them were our overseers, Glenn Packham and Rich Velotis. All four of us are pastoring churches around the country, and we just spent a couple of days together encouraging one another and sharing and talking. And during that time, it was just over the border on the way to Wyoming at a ranch, and we were on the way to Laramie, and for part of the time, we had the opportunity to ride ATVs, and so we had the option, like, oh, you can take them out by yourself, or if you know, give you a map, and I mean, it's huge, and trails everywhere, and all this kind of thing, and so, I said, or, you know, we'd be happy to give you a guided, you know, give you a guide, and so we went with the guide option, because we thought, you know, like, I don't know, map, not very confident in our map reading, and it was wonderful because there was so many different trails going in different directions, and there was many times I'm like, I have no idea where we are and what's going on, and I think we would have made it back. Who knows? But I think had we not had a guide, we probably would have spent a lot of time like stopping, looking at either a GPS or some sort of map, and like, where are we and where are we going and which direction are we facing and all of that kind of thing. But instead, we were able to be out and somebody who knew where they were and what was going on. And it's so helpful to have somebody with you like that. And the Holy Spirit is kind of like that for us. Jesus says to his disciples before he ascends into heaven, he says, "It is to your advantage that I go away, so that the Holy Spirit, we can send the Holy Spirit to you, and you're going to need him." So a few weeks ago, we started a series called Pneuma, walking our way through an understanding of and talking about who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. And we believe that the Holy Spirit is alive and active in our generation, just as he was in the first century. There takes too many theological gymnastics, in my opinion, to say that the Holy Spirit isn't alive and active in our generation like he was in the first century. Before we continue on, I want to highlight next Sunday, if at all possible, please make a priority to be here. We are having a leader who is a friend of mine from Asbury University who was a part of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that happened there last year, and we're going to be talking about that. And so maybe you're new to church or new to the Holy Spirit. I want to give us a definition. We've been talking a lot about like what the Holy Spirit does and who he is and what that looks like, but I want to give you a definition. It's actually a definition from Gordon Fee. Gordon Fee wrote a 1,000-page book. It is both the title and the summary. And so 1,000-page book summarized in 3 words: God's empowering presence. God is personal, divine, with us and empowers us for something. So oftentimes what happens when we talk about what the Holy Spirit does, we end up in some streams of the church, end up talking about gifts and talking about tongues and miracles and healing, and we'll get there, but before we do, we need to continue to build. If you've missed any of the past weeks, I encourage you to go online. You can listen to the podcast. Last week, we did kind of a 30,000-foot view, taking our way on a journey through the Scripture, and I want to overlay that as we drill deeper, talking about what the Holy Spirit does. If you're a note taker, this is your day. And if you like taking notes, get your pen out, get your paper out, get your thumbs ready. You can take pictures on the screen, or as you can do every week, you can go to YouVersion, and the notes are in there as well, so you can track that way. John chapter 14 says, "And I will ask the Father," this is Jesus speaking, "and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. This is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit before he leaves. And this last little phrase kind of blows me away, that the Holy Spirit will be in you. Jesus was with them, but he says, now my Spirit is going to be in you. This is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the scripture says. This is the same Spirit, as we talked about last week, that hovers over the waters of creation, that breathes life and brings about life and is power and all a bunch of things we're going to talk about today. I am amazed that because the Holy Spirit is in us, we don't explode. I mean, that's some significant power, that's some significant things, but the Holy Spirit maybe actually keeps us together. But it says here that the Holy Spirit is an advocate, not necessarily a word that we use all that often. This word advocate has a definition that helps us understand kind of a bit about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as our advocate, is our helper, intercessor, comforter, counselor, and sustainer. That's what advocate means. Maybe you find yourself in a place where you have a deep pain, experiencing deep loss, walking through grief. I can remember when Jossie and I lost our little girl, stillborn. This was several years ago. And in deep pain. And so appreciated the people coming around us that comforted us. But also know that there was an element of the Holy Spirit through them and in us, comforting us in a deep way and comforting us in a deeper way than comfort food can, comforting us in a way that other people can't, but in a way that only the Holy Spirit can. John 14, verse 26, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit gives wisdom and reminds us of the teachings of Jesus. You ever find yourself in that moment where maybe the pace gets going and you're kind of in the middle of this, or maybe you're a teenager, or you're around others and you kind of got the peer pressures moving, and maybe if we can somehow tune in the Holy Spirit, that's Jesus says. Jesus says, turn the other cheek. He gives us wisdom. John chapter 16. And when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The Holy Spirit convicts. Now you might say, well, I don't know about that one. It isn't condemnation. I actually think that conviction sounds like this. Hey, that's not who you are. That way that you treated that person, or the what you just did right there, that's not who you are. Let me help you be who you are. John chapter 16, verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit leads to truth. In a day and age when it's like find your own truth, or you know the truth is relative, and that the Holy Spirit says, no, this is what is true. This is what is true about you, and this is true about life, and this is how we anchor ourselves in the truth, who is Jesus and found in the Word of God. And sometimes we just need to wait. Like, what is it that, where am I supposed to go? What does truth look like? Where is something stable? Acts chapter 9, verse 31, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and increased in numbers. The Holy Spirit encourages. You ever find yourself maybe discouraged? Just a run of difficult things, or internally somehow down, or finding yourself overwhelmed and in need of encouragement. And yes, thank God for other people who encourage us, and we need that. But what if they're not around? What if they're not available? Or what if somehow their words don't quite go deep enough? What if we just ask, Holy Spirit, would you encourage me? Would you bring encouragement and strength to me? Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16, it says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship and daughtership. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba is an Aramaic word, and it means dad or daddy, kind of a close, intimate word. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. See, the Holy Spirit helps us to know that we are adopted as children of God. Like, brings it about in our hearts and as revelation, like the reality of it. Not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge, a way that we know that we are secure, that we are loved, that we are enough. I have several friends who have adopted kids throughout the years, and one of the stories and moments that I found to be so profound is when they tell me about what happens in a courtroom after all the paperwork's been done and all the processes has gone through, and sometimes it's months and even years for the whole thing to happen, and they've had home studies and all the things, and finally everything's been done, and they find themselves in a courtroom with this child that they're trying to adopt, and the judge sits at the bench and at one point hits the gavel and says, you are now, and this is the last name of the family that they're joining. And shares out, not only do you have a new last name, but as a result of that new last name, you are a full heir. You get the same inheritance, you have the same rights, the same privileges of a biological child. You're a part, you're adopted, you're secure, you're not an orphan. You're not left alone, you're not abandoned. You're never on your own. You are secure and taken care of, and you're here, and you're part of the family. Like, that moment is a reality of the moment for us, and for that to become a reality and a revelation for us is done by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit fills us with hope. Hope is the belief that something better is coming. Hopelessness is the belief that things will not get any better than they are right now, that may actually get worse. And the Holy Spirit helps us to realize that God doesn't waste anything. That as bad as it might be, there is always better to come. That God restores and renews, and he will work through everything that is happening, whether in this life or in the age to come, and the renewal and restoration of all things. He fills us with hope and helps us to be able to see that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 through 16, the unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. Spirit cannot be known only by Spirit. God's Spirit and our spirits in open communion. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Isaiah's question, is there anyone around who knows God's Spirit and anyone who knows what he's doing? Has been answered. Christ knows, and we have Christ's Spirit. So the Holy Spirit helps us know what God is up to. I think whether you've been following Jesus for a long time or maybe just a little while, it would behoove us to tune in and ask, God, what are you doing here? God, what are you up to? God, help me to zoom out or maybe zoom in to what you're maybe doing that is beyond what I can see, beyond what I can understand in my head, but I can only somehow perceive in my spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Holy Spirit brings freedom. And in the next verse, Verse 18, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit transforms. Over the last year and a half, we've been talking a lot about spiritual formation, being an apprentice of Jesus and creating habits and spiritual practices that we would lean into that look like fasting or reading the scripture, prayer, silence and solitude and Sabbath, and ways to create space to partner with the Holy Spirit that we might be transformed and look more like and become more like Jesus. Francis Chan, in his book, Forgotten God, says the Holy Spirit desires to do more than help out a bit. He wants to completely transform us. He wants to make a timid heart and set it ablaze with strength and courage. So much so that people know something supernatural has taken place. Life change, just as miraculous as fire coming down from heaven. And the Holy Spirit transforms by producing fruit. Or maybe the outcome of transformation is fruit. Galatians chapter 5 lists these fruits called the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I like what Scott McKnight, pastor and theologian, says. He says, a surefire test to know the Spirit is at work in your life is observable change as you grow towards Christ-likeness. If the Holy Spirit is the transformer and does the work of transformation in us, in partnership with us, then there should be change over time. I think oftentimes I want change immediately. And I think, man, is anything happening? But then over years, hopefully we can look back and say, wow, look what God has done. I am more peaceful and less anxious. I have more joy that is less attached to my circumstances. Not because I somehow white-knuckled it and am like somehow more disciplined, but in some ways just more open to the Spirit and in partnership with his transforming work. Now, as we've gone through these, and there are more, I hope that this should feel like kind of like finding a treasure. Like, what? This is available to freedom, comfort, counsel, strength, encouragement, available, the Holy Spirit. This is what this means. And for some of you, I've talked with some of you over the course of these last few weeks, and you said, I grew up in a church, we never talked about the Holy Spirit. Like, too scary, too weird, too spooky. And yet, these are the things that Holy Spirit. I also hope that it's a sense of relieving some pressure. If the pressure's all on me to transform myself, that's a lot of pressure. I love that it is me in partnership, you in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And to know that these things are available to you and to me. My prayer and hunger for myself and for everyone here at Mill City would be that we would say, oh, that's available? How do I access that in greater ways? How do I open my heart and my life up to that in greater ways? I think that not only do we want to tap into what is available, we want to tap into why it's available. In Acts chapter 1, it says, then they gathered around him, Jesus, and asked him, these are his disciples, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit gives power, but again, we have to ask why. Today, we've got a lot of people trying to grab for power. We've got an election cycle coming up here, and at the end of this year, no cheers on that one. and what actually is so hard about those is there's so much power grabbing. and manipulation about it. And what am I going to do with it? When we're in power, then we're going to do this. And even the disciples of Jesus are like, so are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to give us some political power? This is the moment. He says, no. You're going to get power, but you're going to get a different kind of power for a different purpose. The purpose isn't so that you can somehow control someone else and determine what this and that looks like. Instead, you're going to get power so that you can lay your life down, so that you can bear witness. And you're going to need power for that. See, because right after this happens, he says, so wait here in Jerusalem, because you're going to need this power to fulfill this commission. And then we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. What happened on Pentecost in that upper room? There was this windstorm, and then there was tongues of fire above their head. Then they became spontaneously multilingual, pretty wild experience. You know what they didn't say right after all of that, after some people, there are people around them, hey, let's do that fire thing again. Let's get that wind thing to happen. No, instead, what they did is they found themselves bold and they shared about the message of Jesus and talked about what he had done. The power wasn't for them. The power was then for others. Because right after that, 3,000 people became followers of Jesus. And a couple chapters later in Acts chapter 4, it said there was 5,000 people. I mean, this is happening because of the power of the Holy Spirit working through them. They're not like, let's go back to that room and let's see if we can't get that. No. Actually, they start spreading out and they start moving to, and it says from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the uttermost bounds of the world. John chapter 6, verse 14 says, he, the Holy Spirit, this is Jesus speaking, will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. The gifts, the things we're talking about here today, are to glorify Jesus. Transformation is so that we look more like Jesus to glorify him. We become free to glorify the bondage-breaking power of the Holy Spirit. All of these things, yes, they benefit us, but at the end of the day, they should glorify Jesus. See, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to glorify, illuminate, and point people to Jesus. It's like this. If you walked into a dark room and you're like, I can't see anything, so you turn on your flashlight. You don't take that flashlight and you're like, I love this flashlight. It's like a flashlight. It's so awesome. I just love it. I mean, and now you can't see anything in the room still, even though there's a light on, because you're blinded. The point is not to look at the flashlight. The point is to look at that which the flashlight illuminates. And the same thing is true of the Holy Spirit, is that we look at what the Holy Spirit illuminates rather than like, oh, the Holy Spirit needs focus on the Holy Spirit instead of trying to illuminate, trying to make him known, make him get reflected in your life in a greater way. See, we live in a world where social justice is big. Justice is an important and valuable thing. There's something wired into each one of us to want to make things right. And so we hear about a lot of causes and awareness and money raised and campaigns. And if good-heartedness and money was all it took, then certainly we would have like fixed all the evils and problems of the world by now, right? We, of course, have not. And that's because it's going to take more than good-heartedness and money. It takes power. And the power from the Holy Spirit. As we looked at that first century commission known as the Great Commission, go into all the world, making disciples, be my witnesses. The commission was valid, and he says, hey, before you do that, you're going to need the power to do that. If the commission that was valid then is valid today, then the need for power to do it is still valid today. Which means that we should be people who are desperately dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Our weekly practice is to create space and daily this week ask for increased Holy Spirit activity in your life and in our church. And maybe as you're thinking about this, is to maybe even ask, what of my abilities have I begun to trust more than God? Like, I got this. Like, I don't need your wisdom. Or how have I stopped believing that the Holy Spirit is at work? This weekly practice starts off with create space. Because speed and noise are often some of the significant limiting factors to the work of the Spirit in our lives. With so much noise, podcasts and TV and movies and radio, and I mean, it just can be 24/7. So much so that it drowns out the small whisper. We're moving so fast that we really don't have space to kind of listen. So for me, it's always in the morning. I sit in this chair in our house, and it's just oftentimes before others get up in the morning, and just listening, being with, creating space. And it isn't always that I get the answer or the wisdom or the comfort in those moments, but what it does is kind of open me up to and help me to be more in tune with. See, we pray, come Holy Spirit, but in many ways what we're asking is, God, help me to be more in tune with the Spirit of God that's already at work in and around me. And so in order to practice this, our weekly practice, we need to practice silence and solitude. It should be something we're daily working towards. Space, just to be with, to listen, to be encouraged by the presence of God. And as we do, to be in that place with a desperately dependent heart. I remember when we first planted Mill City a little over 12 years ago. I mean, I prayed like crazy. God, please. Help people show up. Help them come back. Like, wake them up. Like, I get up early in the morning. Wake them up. They, like, don't know why they're waking up. But, like, oh, I need to go to church today. God, I don't care how you do it. Like, come on, God. Like, desperate. Help them to come. Help them to come back. Help them to give. Help them to support. Like, this. God, I can't do this. You got to get this church off the ground. This is your people. This is your church. This is your bride. Desperately dependent. And you know what can be the tendency? It's like, okay, church is going, finances, got a budget, paying some salaries. It's somehow like, okay, we're good, thanks God. But that's not the posture I ever want to have. I want to have the posture of like, God, we're still desperate for you. We don't want to just play church. We need you to show up. God, I don't want to just, I know how to put a sermon together, but God, I don't just want this to be a message. I need this to go further than I could ever make it go. It needs to land deeper than I could ever make. This needs to be more than a speech or a TED talk. This needs to be a message from heaven, saturated in the Holy Spirit, and not just coming out of my mouth, but would you prepare hearts? Like, desperate for you, Holy Spirit. What if we lived our lives like that? I'm desperate for your wisdom. Not just when my life is falling apart, but even in the midst of that, God, would you just help me have eyes to see? Holy Spirit, would you, I'm going to this business meeting and I got a strategy and I need to network, but would you also help me to be in tune with you about maybe something you want to say or maybe somebody that needs something that isn't obvious? Would you encourage me as I'm in this place of pain, God? And God, even as I have received comfort, as it says in Corinthians, God, now help me to comfort others with the comfort I have received from you. God, would you help me to be bold? As it says in the book of Acts so regularly, and they were filled with boldness by the Holy Spirit to share, and people came to Jesus. See, I think God's got a big vision for your life that you can't do on your own. He's got a big vision for this church that if we could do it on it, he doesn't give you a vision for your life that is possible without him. He doesn't give us a vision for this church that we don't need him for. I believe that if we're going to do what we're called to do as a church, that it is not possible on our own. It requires all of us, and it requires dependence on the Holy Spirit. We have too big of a job to get done to rely on human form, just like Jesus says to his disciples, here's an amazing commission. Spread it throughout the world. But by the way, you can't do it on your own. You're going to need the Holy Spirit. In Zechariah chapter 4, it says, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. A.W. Tozer, pastor, writer, says, we may as well face it. The whole level of spirituality among us is low. We have measured ourselves by ourselves until the incentive to seek higher plateaus and the things of the Spirit is all but gone. We have imitated the world, sought popular favor, manufactured delights to substitute for the joy of the Lord, and produced a cheap and synthetic power to substitute for the power of the Holy Spirit. See, sometimes we can get comfortable. We have enough. Our lives are good. And so we lose a sense of desperation, a sense of hunger, a sense of need. And so as followers of Jesus, my prayer is that we are not known just for our might, power, intellect, or talent. Of course, God gives us those things, and I think we should utilize and be good stewards of it. What if there's something more? What if there's more to that? What if there's more to life than just what we can do on our own? What if there's possibility out there for you and your family, for your career, for business, that isn't just about you amassing more things, but about actually seeing, like, wow, look what God just did. So my prayer here today is that our response would not be like, oh, I'm interested in that, I'll think about it. But then we would say, no, God, I need you. I'm desperate for you. As you're a mom or a dad, and you're like, I don't know how to raise these kids. Driving me insane. Help me, like, have peace and wisdom. Jesus, I'm desperate for you. Holy Spirit, work. Maybe as a boss or an employee, business decisions. God, I'm asking for strategy from heaven. Maybe it's as a student and you're trying to figure out which ways to go, what major to choose, or what next step is. God, you know, would you help me to see? Holy Spirit, would you help me to see what you're doing? Maybe it's something in your neighborhood, or maybe today you find yourself in a place of deep pain. The loss is real. The tears come quickly. Your heart feels shattered, and you think, I don't see this coming back together. I don't know how my heart is going to recover from this. And the Holy Spirit would say, oh, let me comfort you. Stop running to Netflix to escape, or to a substance to numb. Go to the Holy Spirit and meet you in that place. Feels like a dark place or a scary place, but meet you and bring comfort. Doesn't mean like, oh, I'm just going to make it all great. But he's going to be there with you, in you, lead you on a place of healing and grief. At the end of the day, if we're desperately dependent on the Holy Spirit, what we're saying is, I am rejecting self-sufficiency. To follow Jesus is a rejection of self-sufficiency. To say, I can do this on my own, I've got this, my life is mine, and I'll figure it out. And for some of you, maybe here today, you're in church for the first time or the first time in a long time, and the invitation from the Holy Spirit is to reject self-sufficiency and say, will you be dependent on me? To say, Jesus, I need you. I need your leadership. I need the Spirit of God. I need wisdom. I need your comfort. I need your people. If that's you, maybe for the first time or the first time in a long time, will you respond to the invitation from the Holy Spirit and say, Jesus, maybe even under your breath, Jesus, I need you. I need you. I've tried doing this on my own, but I and maybe even life's going well, but I know there's something more, and I need you. I need you. And maybe you've said yes to Jesus for the first time a long time ago. But really, this is a prayer that we should be saying and cultivating in our own hearts every day. And so even together we say, Jesus, we need you. And so, Father, we ask, would you cultivate a heart of desperation, desperately dependent upon your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you that you've sent your Spirit to be in us, to work through us, to glorify you and to illuminate Jesus. May it not apply pressure, but may it help us to be relieved to know that we have a partner, an advocate that leads us, guides us, shows us what you're up to. And God, we want to be in step with you. Not our kingdom coming, but your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth through us as it is in heaven. This we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen.